everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory.
He grew up in the family business, from the basement to the kitchen to the table and then the top of the largest summer resort property in the world. A place where presidents, dukes and dames, movie stars, and your next door neighbor have graced the property and the halls of its majestic landscape. And a place where time-honored traditions, moral values, and faith are upheld, and where honor and dignity are preserved. With the love and a passion for excellence, this third-generation owner and proprietor has risen to the challenge and daunting task of preserving the heritage of a property that is literally giving joy to millions all around this world, a heritage that would be instilled in him as a boy from the father that would carry its flame for over 50 years, five U.S. presidents, and 5 million guests and counting. Would you welcome to Testimony a great honor indeed, president and owner of the Grand Hotel Mackinac Island, Mr. R.D. Dan Musser III. Mr. Musser, welcome to Testimony.
Well, thank you so much for including me. You're most generous in your opening remarks, and I'm very appreciative and grateful. Thank you.
Well, my opening remarks, may I call you Dan?
Of course, yes.
Don't begin to give the full scope of the property and your family over 125 years now. But before we begin to tell this incredible story in part one of our two-part conversation today, I would just like to extend my condolences on the recent loss of your father and founding owner and proprietor of the Grand Hotel, Mr. R.D. Musser Jr. 80 years, truly his legacy, Dan, will live on for generations to come. And it was great that he was able to witness the Grand's 125th birthday. How meaningful was this for you and your family? And second question, what above all else did your father impart to you and the legacy of the Grand you now carry on?
Well, first, thank you, and obviously, you know, his passing is a big hole here at the hotel, and obviously personally, too, for our family. You know, his incredible, never-ending desire to keep improving what we do on an annual basis will certainly live on. And also, his wonderful sense and of detail, which is so important in our business, that is certainly going to live on through myself, but also through all of those that he had mentored for so many years, including myself, but also key staff members and those that have moved on to other careers, but still fortunately are returned as guests. And so that spirit of hospitality and I would say most certainly mutual respect with our staff members, many of which have been with us for many, many years, that make really, ultimately, the stay here a special one.
Well, Dan, I just have to tell you from my own experience and my husband, we've spent three wonderful, glorious times at the Grand Hotel, our most recent in celebrating our 20th year anniversary. I can't think of a more wonderful place in all of the world to have this type of a celebration. In the making of the Grand, let's go back in time a little bit. It had to take a tremendous amount of belief and faith for such a feat to be accomplished. Can you talk a little bit about that, those early days, some of the obstacles encountered? And then I would love for you to touch upon your own faith and how that has impacted you as you operate the Grand, your family, and your life. Dan, please tell us that story.
Well, the original structure really came because of Senator Stockbridge, who was a senator here in Michigan, desired to build a grand hotel, and he felt, as many of us still do today, that this bluff overlooking the Straits of Mackinac was the perfect site for such. And he worked for a number of years to find someone to build it for him, and he was fortunate at the time, which was the fashion of a lot of carriage trade hotels like ours that were built before the turn of the century. So he turned to transportation interests, and in our case, two railroad companies and a steamship company formed a hotel company, really not with the interest of ongoing running a hotel, but rather to create a new destination to bring people to. And they built the Grand Hotel in a remarkably 90 days in the spring of 1886 or 1887, and opened on July 10th that year. I guess fortunately for our family, they, like I said, they weren't overly interested in the ongoing operation of a hotel. Rather, they were more interested in just creating this destination. And so by the mid-teens, my great-uncle was fortunate enough to come here and eventually get ownership in 1932. And that's who my father's mentor was, my Uncle Stuart, and as my dad was for me for many years. But all of our, you know, all of what we do comes back to our faith. We have a long line of Episcopal heritage, and in my case, really came to culmination in the Episcopal High School I went to in Connecticut. Currently, I'm active on the vestry of our church in our winter home, and have been active in the Episcopal Church here on the island all of my life. And we're also very fortunate to have a number of faith-based groups that we're able to help, if you will, by hosting in some manners here at the hotel, whether that's the Michigan Knights of Columbus, Holy Cross Children's Services, which is the old Boysville organization, but fortunately now we also help girls, so we've changed the name. And my mother-in-law actually brings six groups of 1,000 Christian ladies for one night stays, and it's generally kind of a multi-generational event where mom might be bringing grandma, and they might have a granddaughter with them to come here, faith-based, you know, discussions and song and fellowship, and obviously that's what guides us, and I think that is a good base for any hospitality and venture, is that, you know, basically we're providing good, hopefully clean, nice shelter and food for our guests, which is a very simple but we think honorable profession and goal. And I think keeping our faith in mind as we do that has certainly helped this facility.
Well, I just have to say, I think you're being very humble at this point. Anyone looking at the Grand Hotel would be blown away. Many that I encountered in our last visit there said that they had put the Grand Hotel on their, quote, bucket list. I mean, you've had presidents and royalty and movie stars and films made on the property. The foliage and the flowers are lush, and the greens and horse and buggy and fudge and fabulous food, and it's all included with a breakfast and a 5-course dinner. Tipping is not allowed. Automobiles are not allowed. Someone wants to get somewhere, they get on a bicycle or they get into a horse and carriage. So you have really taken the Grand Hotel and its traditions through the last many, many years without compromise. How did you do that?
Well, it's an ongoing effort. We think that my father has always said, it doesn't cost us a dime to ask gentlemen to put a coat and tie on at night in our main dining room, but it changes the whole atmosphere and feel of the place. Now, that being said, you know, we do have casual options outside the main dining room, but for most of our guests, that's their experience. And while getting dressed up for dinner is not for all of the traveling public, we're finding that there is a real niche for that, and the idea of a little bit of civility and tradition is finding its way back into the traveling public and our culture. And I believe that kind of the more that tourist destinations become more Disney-esque, if you will, I think that we have a niche that we'll live on, and obviously we're dedicated to that.
Well, it certainly is working. Some of the facts about the Grand Hotel, if I may, before we segue into our second segment, which I would love for you to talk more in detail about, is that more than 130,000 overnight guests stay at the Grand Hotel. It's located on the Mackinac Island in Michigan and is accessible only by ferry boat or plane, and nearly 1 million people visit Mackinac Island each year, but the island has less than 600 year-round residents. So, Dan, how do you get the water, the food, the flowers, and the help?
Well, it's this is we're closed for more days than we're open. Once the ice freezes in the Straits of Mackinac, there's just really no feasible or good way to get. We need at least 500 guests a night to be viable. There's no good way for them to get over here in a safe manner. And I'm not sure there's enough money in northern Michigan to heat our big wood frame structure all winter long, even if we were able to. But it's a challenge, but it's a good one. The food comes over on a ferry boat in refrigerated trucks. It's unloaded onto a horse-drawn dray that comes directly to the hotel first thing in the morning, as does luggage, and as do most of our guests take the ferry boat over. Ironically, here in Michigan, the birthplace of the automobile, we as a community in the early 1900s banned automobiles from the island, and that local law has held up all these years, and I think it forces you to slow down when you get to the island, whether you want to or not, which sets the stage, we think, for a wonderful vacation. And then coupled with the natural beauty of the island, overlooking the Straits of Mackinac, coupled with the long history that Mackinac Island has in the Straits of Mackinac and in our state as a gathering place, starting with the Native Americans until today, where we're very fortunate to have numerous political and economic and other annual meetings of importance.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Dan Musser III, owner and proprietor of the magnificent Grand Hotel in Mackinac Island. We are going to hear more from Dan next week on Testimony as we explore the heritage of this wonderful property and why you should be going there. Dan, thank you for being with us today. God bless you for all that you are doing and the standard that you are holding. We look forward to speaking with you more next week on Testimony.
Thank you so much for including me, and God bless you and your work as well.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JENSINEBARD.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony. In an era where time-honored traditions are discarded like a worn-out rag, the aged are dishonored, as well as the help, and technology has been the stealer of time, relationships, and reflection. There is one that stands above the fray and goes against that grain, and in a glorious way,
You might even say a grand way, as we are about to find out. Beautifully situated on Michigan's Mackinac Island, surrounded by Lake Huron, lush foliage, horse and buggy, and some say the best fudge known to man, this historical landmark of 125 years and counting is a step back in time, or should we say somewhere in time, as celebrated stars Jane Seymour and the late Christopher Reeves would tout of their now iconic movie filmed on the island of Grandeur and Dreams. Is this a place for everyone, or just the bucket list few? With five visiting presidents, renowned Carlton Varney interior design, and accommodation suites named after several first ladies, the answer may surprise you and is certain to thrill you. Here to share more in a rare and exclusive interview is third-generation owner and proprietor of the Grand Hotel Mackinac Island, Mr. Dan Musser III. Dan, welcome back to Testimony.
Well, thank you so much. It's great to hear your voice again, and thank you so much for including me and the hotel.
Well, it's great to have you, and if you don't already know, my husband and I are huge fans of arguably one of the most fabulous summer resort properties in the world, in our view. Dan, in part one of our two-part conversation, you shared the impact your father, the late R.D. Musser, had on your life, your career, and the legacy that would continue under your leadership. In this segment, I would love for you to talk about what makes the Grand Hotel work with five visiting presidents and all that's gone on the past 125 years and counting. How difficult or easy has it been to maintain the time-honored traditions you began with and continue today?
Well, thank you. But in our case, a seasonal business that we're closed more days than we're open. It's a challenge, but also I view it as a great opportunity as well. The fact that we are closed gives us the opportunity to refresh ourselves. It also enables us to look at all the things we do, keep the ones that are working and the traditions that make sense, and strengthen those, and improve upon areas that we can going forward. Whether that is the services and amenities that we offer, or adding on to the hotel, or changing the physical structure of what we have, and then ultimately making sure that we have recruited the best possible staff members to carry out the service that's necessary in our dining rooms, in our housekeeping department, right down to our stables and gardens that all make the experience here unique and we think special.
Well, in your recent celebration of over 125 years, or at your 125th birthday, you had your historian talk about the Grand Hotel from its inception in 1887 all the way to the present time. You invited dignitaries, the governor. You have a governor's mansion on the Grand Hotel on the island. Can you talk a little bit about what the Grand is all about and why the average American or someone looking to go on vacation, why they should be visiting the Grand?
Well, we are a summer place. We close in the winter, and we celebrate that. Many years ago, brought in Carlton Varney, who's president of Dorothy Draper in New York City, that has brought beautiful, we think, summer colors throughout the house that maybe you wouldn't want to live with on a day-to-day basis, but we think are appropriate for a summer place. Many years ago, my mother and now my sister took over the overseeing of our gardens, where we have, in the spring, we have beautiful tulips and daffodils, and then throughout the summer with new gardens, we have the lovely lilacs here on Mackinac Island that spring, and they come out in the spring as well. And so all of those things certainly add to the fact that we have this wonderful setting. We have this dramatic structure, the world's longest porch looking out of the straits of Mackinac, with these columns that kind of frame the view, if you will, if you're sitting on one of our 500 rocking chairs looking out. to the historic nature of the island. We have an operating Fort Mackinac that has interpretive tours daily, and then the fact that we don't allow automobiles, and that so you either have the opportunity to walk, use a bicycle or a carriage to get around the beautiful island that is 80% state park, which has ensured natural beauty in addition to those of us that own part of it and have been able to have buildings and other structures. But most of all, eventually it comes down to our staff that serve our guests. And without their longevity and their passion for hospitality, I don't think that we would be in the state, we'd be in the position we are. And so I think with all those together, the natural beauty, the history, this dramatic structure, and our wonderful staff make it a wonderful opportunity, not just for the presidents or president wannabes, but everyday Americans and folks that are looking for a special occasion, whether that is an anniversary like you celebrated, or just quite frankly a getaway with their young children, that we have a wonderful 500,000-gallon outdoor swimming pool, in addition to a wonderful children's program that utilizes all the aspects of the island and the hotel.
Right. Now, in that half-a-gallon swimming pool, Esther Williams starred in the 1947 movie This Time for Keeps, shot at the Grand Hotel. In addition, in 1980, the film Somewhere in Time, which we talked about in our first segment briefly, starring Christopher Reeve, Jane Seymour, and Christopher Plummer. You celebrate these events and these occasions at the Grand Hotel. So what I love about your property, Dan, is that you have something seemingly for everyone, whether it's swimming or golfing or walking or hiking or taking a ride around the property in the horse-driven carriages. When my husband Dan and I were there, we took a hike and we looked at the back of the Grand Hotel and how things operated. And we were just really impressed with the quality and the character of the people that you do have on staff, from top to bottom. So my question to you is, in this era of disrespect in a lot of ways for the elderly, for teachers in classrooms, for CEOs of corporations, how do you, as president of the Grand Hotel, bring a spirit of unity, respect, and motivation among your employees? What are you teaching them?
Well, I think ultimately, and very simply, it comes down to a mutual respect of each other. We open each year with an annual meeting of all of our staff before we open and lay out what we expect for our staff members to do with the upcoming summer. And at the premise, you know, the basis of it is that, you know, if you come here and you work hard, you smile, you're friendly to your guests, you follow, you know, it's not a mistake to not know, but not to find out is a problem. All those things, you know, you're going to be able to make a dollar here this summer and make a good and decent wage. But more importantly, I feel and I know that our staff that have been with us for many years understand that that enables them to be proud of something, an institution that they can be proud of and be part of. And I think maybe that's the difference. We're very hands-on. We're my family's present in the hotel every day. This is not a sideline for us. This is our not only our livelihood but also our way of life. And I think that that shows. And it's become all of ours, if you will, to take care of this wonderful old lady and keep it going for another 126 years.
Well, I certainly hope that you do for all of us all across the nation and all around the world. Did you ever think when you took over the proprietorship or ownership from your father that it would be what it is today? Tell us about some of the improvements under your watch.
Well, when I first started, what I call real jobs, one was in the kitchen, but then the other one was the front desk. When I started, about 16 years old, and we still had rooms that shared bathrooms, which, as you might imagine, wasn't a wonderful situation for a family of four that might be sharing with someone else. And so we've come a long way as far as the actual physical accommodations that we have. But we've also been able to, fortunately, add 18 holes of golf for the first time on the island. We've improved the service and food that we provide in the main dining room, but we've also offer several other dining options that are part of the meal plan. We have a wonderful Bavarian-themed restaurant, a very unique building in the middle of the woods on the first tee of our back nine. We have a wonderful kind of steakhouse-type restaurant on the first tee of our front nine, and then we have two more casual options downtown that are great for families and the young at heart, if you will. And so we have a variety of options that we've added to what kind of our traditional service, and yet we still have kept a high teen afternoon. We have pretty much live music from the afternoon all the way through dinner that culminates with God Bless America, and when that ends, our nightclub opens. That's available to all guests with no cover charge or anything. It's open every night, and where we have our in-house orchestra play. So I think the use of all of those augmenting our orchestra has certainly helped. Augmenting all the pretty things we do, like I mentioned earlier, our gardens, but also the different services that we can now provide have been, you know, what I've worked on and continue to do so.
Well, you've done a magnificent job. The Grand Hotel will be my favorite place, hands down. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to third-generation owner and president Dan Musser III of the Grand Hotel. If you would like to learn more about the Grand and make a visit, you can go to www.grandhotel.com for some fabulous summer packages all year long. This is a treat not to be missed. And this is a hotel that speaks of grandeur, charm, grace, and what used to be. Well, why can't it be now? Dan, I want to thank you for being with us on Testimony. Please continue your fabulous and wonderful work, and please give our love to the Musser family, your entire staff, and we look forward to visiting with you next time when we come to Michigan. God bless you, and thank you.
God bless you, and thank you for including me. And do come back and see us. We look very much forward to that.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JENSINEBARD.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.